This is the web stream of KBOO Portland. KBOO is 100% community supported. If you have not yet become a member, go to the website kboo.fm and click on the tip jar.
Immigration, which is a broken system, but there's a lot of hope here and a lot of pressure, and people are saying, you know, what the immigration, the Gang of Eight did as far as a proposal on immigration is not really acceptable. Now they're talking about, and it's recently in the last couple of days, that some of the sections of the so-called proposal are going to be rewritten. And that's a major, major concern for people. But one thing that's clear here today is that people are not going to back down. And the message is, you know, we're not going to stop. It's only going to grow. This has to be dealt with. It has to be addressed.
Well, Miguel Gavilán Molina, one of the people addressing it and on the front lines is a good friend of yours, of ours, of Pacifica Radio, and certainly of the day labor movement. Gabriel Hernandez joins us now. Welcome back to Flashpoints. It's an honor to have you with us, Gabriel.
Hey, how you doing? How's everyone doing today?
We're doing good. We're glad to have you with us. I want you to say just a bit about the work you've been engaged in. Tell us what this movement is about and why May Day should be significant here. Tell us about this new movement, this workers' rights, this migrant-immigrant rights movement.
Years, what's happened is, you know, we've been out on the streets, you know, demanding reform in terms of the process to become, you know, a pathway to citizenship. For a number of years, it's been ignored. For a number of years, there's been other priorities like health care and other things. And now is the time for us to be rising up, like some years past, where we were demanding that, you know, again, we've been here, we want to be here, we're participating in the communities. Our day labor centers provide that opportunity to be able to organize workers to participate in as good residents in all the cities that they are. We've been in Hayward since 2007. And we've proposed to open up a center here in Oakland with funding that the city is contemplating cutting. And so, again, it's something that, it's part of our work to organize the workers and have them be, you know, again, good citizens of the Bay Area, good citizens of the county, good citizens of the cities like Hayward and Oakland.
I would love you to talk a little bit about the center that you work so closely with in Hayward in terms of how it really has become a key part, if you will, another important community institution, not even alternative, that deals with the needs of many, many citizens. It's really a part of the community now. Explain what a center is and does.
One of the things that we've done is work very closely with different organizations. And ironically, or I guess in terms of history, we've developed such a great relationship with the police department that the chief of police in Hayward introduced us to all of the other chiefs of police in the Bay Area as a model organization to develop trust between the community and the police. And so, you know, very important in terms of the work that we're doing. The other organizations that support us, Davis Street Center, St. Rose Health Hospital, a number of organizations like Literacy Plus through the Hayward Libraries, all these different organizations we've put together and organized to support the workers. And like I said, now we've worked with the District Attorney's Office to prosecute employers who are ripping off the workers. And in fact, Lance Kubo, I was trying to get him on the air during this hour to talk about some of the work that we've done. But again, now we're proposing to open up a new center here in Oakland and then one out in the Tri-Valley area near Dublin and Pleasant and Livermore areas. And, you know, again, begin to organize the East Bay in a way that hasn't been seen in terms of the workers that are out there. We're talking hundreds of employers, thousands of workers, and millions of dollars, and no one is looking over this industry, and we're trying to get control of that.
Now, you said something that I really want to follow up on, Gabriel. You say you one of your major supporters is the police chief, the Hayward police chief. Now, does that mean that he did not cooperate in the Federal Secure Communities Program, in the ESCOM program? Did they play a role in support of, if you will, migrant workers' rights?
Her name is Diane Urban, Chief Diane Urban. She, along with Ron Ace, who was the prior chief, have been very supportive of the work that we've done, have ensured, for example, that we get safety trainings when a time changes and it gets dark. They helped negotiate with us a new towing policy to change the towing policy that they have so people don't lose their means of income. And again, she talks all the time about how the chiefs of police struggle with the whole question of trying to develop trust amongst the community and how secure communities kind of undermines that trust. But at the same time, that they do want to put away, you know, bad people, people who've broken the law, who should be in jail, who've committed crimes, things of that sort. So it's put them in a very difficult position. But again, what they've learned, or at least what she's learned with us, is by having that open communication, that's the best way to have it. Our workers know the different officers, work with them. They trust them to be able to do police reports. It's just an amazing relationship.
Important, because if a young woman is in danger, being hurt in some way, they should not be afraid, for instance, to seek assistance. And many people get into big trouble because they're afraid to call the police. So that's a significant thing at the local level. We're about to talk about the ESCOM and the courageous action taken by Richard Vallee and the supervisors of Alameda County. That's in Northern California, in the context of Oakland, California. You can sort of imagine it. What does ESCOM, what has this federal law meant to the people that you represent? Explain what it's done to folks' lives who are trying to just get by.
Again, the process is a very creative one that the ICE has established. They found basically an administrative way of being able to deport people. They go into the jails, run people's prints and things of that sort, and then if they come up on their federal computers in terms of, you know, being passing the border or something of this sort, then they pursue that. The reality is that it's created terror in the community. I have one instance where a little 5-year-old girl and her family, her dad was deported just because he happened to be in a car. And it was pulled over because something was hanging from the rearview mirror. Another woman, an Hondureña, who was deported because she was in a car that had a cracked windshield, and she had an infant that she was still breastfeeding and was separated from the child and deported. So in real terms, it has divided families and terrorized them. And in all this political debate, the real voice that's been lost in all this is that of the children, and it's our responsibility and obligation to allow those children to have the voice to express themselves in terms of losing their parents or losing a parent, you know, because they've been deported. Nowhere in any other country, or even in this country, will we allow other races of people to be deported en masse like we've seen our peoples deported. If we had put yellow stars on a bunch of people and sent them back to the Middle East, or if we ended up putting people in chains and sending them back to, you know, continents like Africa, there would be an uprising, I'm sure. And so this is the kind of thing that we're facing and we've been dealing with for decades. And because we've been kind of invisibilized and discounted as a people, just barely is it coming to a national discussion.
What does a day labor center do on a daily basis to protect immigrant and migrant workers?
Well, again, the key thing that we're able to do is organize the workers. We're able to identify the leadership. We're able to, you know, bring that together, have discussions about what their needs and priorities are, and then, you know, and again, move hundreds of workers at a time. And so, you know, in positive ways, for example, we've done $20,000 and $30,000 and $40,000 worth of volunteer work in the community to improve it. Again, making them active members of the and residents of their communities. And on even at the state level, we go up to Sacramento and we're moving legislation, for example, like the Trust Act, to counter the SCOM so that the state of California rejects that in every public jurisdiction the legal deportation of these workers, you know, based on the federal law and the undermining of the trust that we've developed with our police department, things of that sort.
So you know, it's interesting. The governor who of California currently, who used to do a show, the one just before this one, would proclaim with great pride his relationship to Cesar Chavez and his support of the farm workers. He hasn't been that kind of supportive for the people you represent, has he? Are you disappointed?
Well, I think he's pragmatic. You know, he's got, you know, sort of like, you know, President Obama. He's got two terms. Seeing him taking more political in his second term, you know, with Governor Brown, he does have a history. You know, I have negotiated with him, and it, you know, I think this time around, the timing of it of legislation like this, you know, because it's more politically expedient, he's probably going to do the right thing.
Well, let me.
And so that's kind of where, you know, that is. It's unfortunate that he didn't sign it. In the winter this past year, and he could have stepped up and had been seen as a leader of the people, and he failed.
All right, let me ask you to stand by, Gabriel Hernandez, because we're now joined by a member of the Alameda Board of Supervisors, Richard Vallée. He, along with the majority of the supervisors there, voted to disconnect from ESCOM. Welcome, Supervisor Vallée. Welcome to Flashpoints.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Well, it's good to have you with us. Explain exactly the action that the supervisors took. What was it that you were intending by your action, by this vote?
The intent was to send a message to not just the Alameda County Sheriff, but the entire state of California that ESCOM is bad public policy, and it treats undocumented people in our society as criminals. And it has a disparaging effect on families. It separates people from their neighborhoods, from their communities, but more importantly, from their families by putting them in isolation with no guaranteed rights of defense because they are undocumented. Therefore, you get no attorneys unless you can afford one. And then very quickly, you are shuffled off to a distant state. And then very quickly after that, you are deported. And in some cases, we've had people report that their families didn't even know they had been deported until they had left the United States. So we wanted to send a message that, again, this is bad public policy. And I believe the caller was talking about the Trust Act, and we are following its progress in Sacramento.
Well, let me ask you a little bit about how this story comes to you. We do hear a lot of very troubling stories. As somebody who represents the people and a community, do you see this firsthand? Is this becoming personal for you because of the extent of the suffering?
It is. I live in Southern Alameda County in Union City. It's a very diversified community. I have people from all different parts of the world that live and are literally neighbors of mine, and I several members of my neighborhood are undocumented, but they take their children to school. They participate in their classrooms as parent volunteers. They pay taxes. They have jobs. They work and live in my neighborhood, and so I know that a lot of them have fear of speaking with law enforcement about crimes in the neighborhood. They find it hard to come to neighborhood watch meetings because those are sometimes convened by the police department, and that's a scary feeling for them to be in the same presence as law enforcement, knowing that they can be apprehended and deported if they don't have identification.
You're listening to Flashpoints on Pacifica Radio. My name is Dennis Bernstein. We're devoting the show to May Day, workers' rights, a lot of activities happening around the country regarding immigrant rights, workers' rights, immigration reform. Supervisor Valle, you voted, the supervisors voted, I guess it was 3-1?
Yes, that's correct.
So what does it mean? You simply do not cooperate with federal authorities? If you had your way, is that what the intent of the legislation was, no cooperation?
Well, there's several meanings. The first being that, one, the federal government does not fully reimburse local jurisdictions for instituting secure communities. So it's a cost to you, it's a cost to me, it's a cost to every taxpayer in Alameda County. We should not have to bear that that cost. Number two, and more importantly, this is bad public policy for the reasons that I've just cited. We, local law enforcement, should not be the instrument of a national policy which has failed and still isn't instituted about how to deal with the issue of people who are here to work, to live, and to live life and to create some fortune for themselves and their families, just like every other person wants. The world is a small planet, and we are becoming smaller and smaller by the day. So to think that our borders are in some way have to be restrictive is not thinking about the future of the planet. We need to think beyond our own borders and think about humanity.
Well, now
Dennis, I wanted to ask Richard. Richard, this is Gaudiel from the Day Labor Center. The sheriff is a politically elected office, and obviously he can snub you all as equals in terms of, well, you're elected, he's elected. But I think in terms of that, what do you think the sheriff should do in terms of a response to your all resolution, you know, asking him to not cooperate with the government on this?
Well, as you stated, the sheriff is an independent elected official. He has his own direction. I did have a discussion with him, and we did talk about secure communities. He agreed that it's a policy that's not well